Joining me in the studio right now, we have Dr. Patricia Bodelson and her students from her Global Disaster Relief class. They are going to be holding a simulated terrorist attack on campus at the Atwood Theater tomorrow at about 3:45. And we're here, you know, just to discuss it a little bit. Okay, so, well, first, just kind of say you guys' names.
Okay. I'm Dr. Patricia Bodelson, and I'm a professor in the Political Science Department.
I'm Sarah Cermak, and I'm a student of the Political Science Department.
And I'm Corey Vossen, student in the Political Science Department.
Okay. Tell me on just the basic level of what you guys are doing on Wednesday.
What we're doing is a simulation for a class that is based on experiential pedagogy or students actively participating in their learning. And this is the fifth simulation that we've done for this. It's based on global disaster relief policy. And it's with the reality that it's a local disaster, but it's going to have global implications. And with every speaker who's come to the class, they remind us of that, that the Red Cross can activate enough people in some areas, such as Chile when there's an earthquake, or Japan when there's a tsunami, but they don't have them in Haiti. So it's not exactly the size of the disaster as much as the preparedness of the country or the institution, et cetera. And since 9/11, there have been a lot of disaster policy, homeland security programs set up. George Mason actually has an entire master's program based on not only the pedagogy I'm using, but the substantive areas that we discuss in the class. This time, the simulation, and I want to emphasize over and over again that it is a simulation of a bomb or an explosive device being detonated in Atwood Theater. Again, a simulation, but it also talks to the reality that there is potential for disasters of that nature on campus anywhere in the world. I mean, the Boston Marathon summed that up for us perfectly. And for this disaster, the experts or the leadership that's emerged from the class, I call them the linchpins, are Corey and Sarah. And they've been working on the specific and logistical aspects of the class, of the what a bomb would be like, how you could get it into Atwood, detonation areas, evacuation plans. And every student in the class has some role in how this will all fit together tomorrow afternoon between 4 and 7 p.m. over in Atwood. And we encourage anybody to volunteer to participate. They can be observers if they want to be. They can be volunteers who simulate that they've been injured in the simulated explosion, etc. Right now, I think our biggest need is to get more volunteers who would be interested not only in seeing what we're doing, participating in it, and then they can stay for the party afterwards with the brats and the debriefing, etc. So.
And then, is there any like specific number of volunteers that you guys are looking for?
Our goal number is 100. Okay. At this point, I think we're up to 27, so there's a lot of room.
All right, so you guys are the ones that are kind of planning it?
Mm-hmm.
Or like, because I didn't realize that you guys are, you said that you have a fake bomb that you guys are going to detonate. And so are you guys planning like on kind of both sides of the spectrum of like what it would take to do like an attack there? And then also what you do to afterwards kind of a thing?
Well, when we first thought about the man-made disaster, we had to think about how they would do it in Spectrum before we can figure out how we're going to, I guess, have the volunteers evacuate, like the effect that it would have on people within that given area. And then, yeah, we had to get into the mentality of how they would act. Yeah, we're not terrorists, so it would be hard to completely understand like what they're trying to say, but I thought we did a pretty good job. And then the simulation of the bomb is going to be just a sound. We have props afterwards to show what would happen, like, you know, the pieces will be flying, and we're just going to take pictures of the event so then we can make it into more of a learning experience for just the people that is in our class to see, like, what to look for, you know, if they do want to get into the field of, you know, police, bomb squad, or any other jobs that entail that.
Yeah, the props really at the end are going to be crucial for people doing the investigative part where you kind of see, well, what happened. We're also going to do like a fake letter because we know a lot of terrorists will leave a message afterwards saying why they did it. So we do have to come at it from both the angle of how would I plan this attack as a terrorist and how would I save people as a first responder or as someone in the medical field. It's really kind of exciting and fun to do it from both sides.
All right, can you, or did you have anything?
Well, I was just wanting to say something about the other aspects of the course, and that's things like organizing the volunteers, setting up logos that unite the group so that when we respond, we have an identity of our own. And we have students who are participating simply in the logistics of trying to find, you know, the right amount of supplies, the right amount of volunteers. We have people who are working on public relations and that type of thing. So there's, besides the actual bomb for the entire class, there's a lot of other pieces that have to go together.
Okay. So. Can you guys explain, because from my just doing a little bit of research, there's like specific roles that like a volunteer would have or something like that. Can you explain some of the roles?
It all depends on like how many people we're actually going to get to show up. If we only get a few up to 20 or 25, we'll just recycle them and have two different events. If we have more than that, you know, we're going to have a specific group for who wants to be or who wants to portray the role of the terrorists and just, and then we're going to have like all the citizens are going to be onlookers to see if they see anything suspicious, to see how they move out of the building. It's more of the observation at when the event happens to see how citizens will react to better our safety and our security. And maybe we need to add more doors or just different things that we can do for a campus or even in just in general buildings for when people actually, if an event happens like this.
It's going to be exciting for the volunteers because when you show up, we're having some of the students are responsible for creating these cards that you get, and you go in and you'll sign in and get your card, and it's going to say, like, I'm sitting in this seat, I am in the blast radius, I'm going to have to go to the morgue, or I'm losing a limb, or my eyesight's gone, or I'm so traumatized that I have post-traumatic stress. The volunteers will get to act out that, or like go in and make sure they get counseling from our therapists afterwards, or know where they're getting triaged if they have to be carried out. You know, it's going to be kind of exciting for them to participate. It's not just a, like, I'm going in for a lecture to find out about safety. It's really kind of a hands-on participation thing for not just the students, but also the volunteers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
We don't call them victims, though. We call them survivors. We learned that from a guest speaker. Oh. If we're taking care of them, they have survived. And that gives them, apparently, a sense of empowerment immediately after any trauma. The idea is that we want the students in the classroom to participate, to know how to make a plan, to know how to respond if there is a disaster of this genre. And then it also is a way to get students to learn actively and to participate in problem solving, do teamwork, and figure out, like, Corey's the IC, the incident commander. And once he took on that role in the classroom, then he becomes ultimately responsible for everybody else on the team, making sure that they've done their part of the job. And so that's a big piece just from my perspective of how I teach the course. It takes a lot of energy and a lot more planning than lecturing, quite frankly. On the other hand, the energy in the room, if you come in the classroom, is just, it's uplifting and it's phenomenal. And so, you know, from that perspective, it's a really important piece, I think. And it's a growing form of academia that kind of dovetails into service learning. The specific scenario that we have selected, this is the first time we've done a man-made scenario. And we got some knee-jerk response, maybe I want to say. People were a little concerned that this could spiral out of control, and that's why we want to keep using the word simulation. We've gotten support from administration. We've gotten support from the people at Atwood. But they are also very cautious about, the fact that there will be signs on the door saying this is a simulation. Hopefully on the St. Cloud State website, they'll say there's a simulation occurring, you know, so that if someone goes, oh, there's a bomb in Atwood, they can go right to the website and it says, no, it's a simulation. But the idea that we would know, have some skills in how to respond, I think is very important.
One of the things, too, that Dr. Bodelson has brought up is the guest speakers. You brought that up a couple of times, and then Corey's brought up this idea of like how this might impact our response to an event like this. So we've had some speakers come in that have talked about how across the country, like through counties and towns, we've had these emergency managers that are popping up who have been traditionally dealing with natural disasters and how they would respond to that. But we've seen this trend where they're also creating plans to deal with terrorist attacks and things like this, more man-made disasters. So it's kind of nice to be able to run this simulation at school to see what we can take out of it to help increase student safety. You know, I know that that's extremely important to this administration. They care about our students. They want to keep them safe. And this is just another way that they've allowed students to help creatively come up with a plan to keep ourselves safe all together. So I think it's excellent that we've been allowed to do this.
You're listening to an interview with Dr. Patricia Bodelson, Sarah Cermak, and Corey Vossen. They are organizing a simulated terrorist attack that's going to be happening tomorrow, June 5th at 3:45 in the Atwood Memorial Center. Yeah, and then at the end of it, you guys are like kind of a debriefing.
That'll be Thursday.
Talking about what happened and then...
And what we could have done better.
Okay.
You know, we've sent out flyers for volunteers. It's difficult to get volunteers when the academic year is not in session. We've put in the flyers on cars. We've put them in dorms where people are living. You know, could we provide other incentives next time? Maybe we'll have too many volunteers and we won't know what to do with all of them. And we'll have to go buy brats really fast to feed all of them, you know, which would be a wonderful thing. So don't hesitate to volunteer.
Okay.
You would look good with one leg.
Thanks.
Just so you know, we've got a role for you, Justin.
Then you mentioned, you know, kind of it's also kind of a planning thing for the future if anything were to happen. Are you guys going to kind of like write up anything like a report to give to administration?
I compiled the logs or the journals of the evaluations from the debriefing. And that's available. We also make a movie of it, and we've been giving that to the administration, a documentation of the disaster, the response, and the debriefing. So we do that more than a written report. We have a documentarian, and then Ivan down at Outdoor Endeavors is even going to let us use GoPro cameras. So some of the people who are affected by the blast will have a camera on their forehead to record everything that's going on as they start to hopefully panic somewhat, scream, and run out of the building. And there's word on the street, although this has not yet materialized, that there's also a drone camera that we can use to follow it. The Outdoor Endeavors has that, and they've offered it to us, but last time when they offered it to us, there was something wrong with the battery. But so we do document it very thoroughly with pictures. We create a photo novella at the end.
Okay.
And a CD that students can have for their records. So students have gotten jobs or career opportunities out of this class because the documentarian from the first class then became the emergency disaster response documentarian for Channel 9 News. And when there's a tornado or something coming, he can document that and send it to them. And that gave him some... a foot in the door for becoming part of productions.
Oh, really?
That's at Channel awesome. 9. And other students who've done logistics have gotten positions in administration. Our logistics person this time is in school to become a nursing home administrator. And so he wants to be able to show that in the disaster, would it be a tornado at a nursing home or like in Texas where there was a fertilizer plant blew up next to a nursing home, that he knows how to evacuate people, that he knows what the logistics are and what you would have to plan for anything like that. And he thinks that will look good on his resume, which I'm sure would. People pick roles in the class that reflect their career goals. Our PTSD person is a community psychology major, and that's one of his career goals, is to be able to respond to community disasters and you know, say that he knows how to identify who's got the potential for PTSD, some of the interventions that would be helpful. So that's a big piece of the class also. Okay. You would like a role in disaster planning when you graduate, right, Sarah?
I'd like to do something along the lines of like an intelligence job or an analyst job, the emergency disaster planning, any of that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's been really helpful to kind of get that hands-on. And not only do you have to know how to respond, but kind of to plan and then respond. It's coming from both sides.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize, you know, from the research that it's not just political science majors or, It's right, yeah. a lot of people from mm-hmm. different areas.
Criminal justice majors would do really well with this, and we've gotten a lot of support from that department because there is a need, even in criminal justice, to have the logistics for a refugee camp or a disaster camp. And when the American Refugee Committee comes to speak, they talk about the differences and where the crime is and how you separate the men from the women if it's a man-made disaster refugee camp. Because most of the men have gone to fight in the war or have been lost, whereas if it's a natural disaster refugee camp, you keep the families together. And the biggest problem in the camp, according to them, is fire. And therefore, the first thing you establish is the latrine and the fire location, so everybody doesn't have their own fire. It can burn down the camp, yeah. And it also is a gathering place for particularly the women and children. And so it sets up a sense of community almost immediately. So those are just small things that we've learned along the way that are really interesting. And again, criminal justice gets that kind of information and then what kind of security you would need in a camp. And then we have students. We had one student who had been in a refugee camp in Kenya for 5 years. And he was our, this was before we knew IC, he was our mayor, our IC. And so he told us all the particulars of what a refugee camp would look like. What was interesting is there a refugee camp can be a camp for up to 15 years. So his perspective was a little different. But it's interesting to get that perspective, too, of what this looks like after the disaster.
You said you've done 5 other of these before. What were some of the other ones that you did?
We did an earthquake. We did a nuclear meltdown of Monticello. Mm. We got a little attention for that one, too. But that was right after the tsunami. We did a pandemic. And then the last one we did was the swine flu, avian flu combination virus epidemic that we said came from a combination of the state fair and students coming back from China.
Oh, okay.
Mutated right here on campus. But, so that one, you know, we did things like negative energy or negative airflow, so that you didn't cross-contaminate. And we examined the air ducts in B-51, because that's where we did it. So we know that the morgue goes into a place that has a different air venting system if you've got contagious diseases and that type of thing. So this one's more trauma-oriented, EMT. The other one was more epidemiological.
Okay.
So,
and I guess one that, you know, first comes to mind, like, for a campus would be, like, a shooting or something like that. Yeah. Have you guys ever considered that, or is it kind of the administration got that tackled down a lot, or?
Look at us make faces at each other. What do you think? I think we could have done that instead.
With the shootings involved that we've been seeing lately, we based it off of, like, yeah, that's a criminal thing, and that's possibly the most like likely that would happen in any campus. Mm-hmm. But now with I think July 1st there'll be actually armed cops like within like 30 seconds to be able to respond. So I mean, due to like the police going to actually be there, and we do have public safety that monitor stuff, and that I feel like St. Cloud State has more protection when it comes to like, I guess, the actual shootings. And that's why we figured let's try something on a bigger scale, because that's the actual global disaster. And to see it, what we're trying to do is, that's why we're trying to get 100 people, because it's not going to just be like what we notice, what we can do better, what, like, it's going to be what the people notice. Sarah here is going to be doing debriefs on random people. Be like, did you notice anything suspicious? Like, what did you notice? Like, was it hard to get out? Was there too many exits, or were too less exits? What could we have done better as a people in general? So that will help increase the protection of the St. Cloud State campus.
And initially in planning the event, we did think about doing a combination where we set off the bombs and then would have like a terrorist outside that would kind of pick people off with a gun. But we kind of decided that that might be a little bit complicated and also scary. So, you know, I think we're kind of pushing people as far as we can go here, and we're not going to try and terrify people anymore. They might start having heart attacks.
The key word is simulation.
Mm-hmm.
When you're there, it just, you only have to simulate that you've lost one leg.
Yeah.
And in the beginning of the simulation, we will make sure that all the volunteers are briefed and know this is a simulation, this is what's going to happen, this is the noise you're going to hear. We'll play it for them ahead of time so that they know when that sound goes off that that's what it is, so that everybody is totally aware. We will make sure that they know that it's a simulation.
We're trying to make this as realistic and still be a simulation without creating a sense of panic.
Okay.
You know, a responsible simulation, I guess, is what we'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. Well, I don't think I have any more questions. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you guys want to add?
I would just like to thank you for the opportunity to get the word out and encourage people to participate. And if they don't want to participate, they just want to come look at us, that's fine too. You know, just to see what happens in a case like this.
So we look forward to seeing you tomorrow at 3:45 to, you know, 7 or 8. Come have a blast with us, and we'll feed you afterwards and play some music for you. We promise we won't hurt you for real.
Yeah.
I won't lose my leg.
No.
Not for real.
No.
No.